Before we dive in, if you haven't already done so, please subscribe to this, the Much Better You podcast, on whatever platform you use to listen to it, as this will mean you never miss an episode. Plus, it'll help other people discover this podcast too, and hopefully improve their lives, and not just because it'll make me rich and famous.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Furthermore, if you get value from this podcast, please check out my book, The Much Better You, which distills down all the best bits of season one and then some bonus principles into a life-changing, yet witty and easy to follow self-help book that rates 5-star on Amazon after selling about 300 copies so far. You can find it as physical, audio or ebook by going to Amazon and typing in The Much Better You, or by going to the muchbetteryou.com website, where you can also request a personalized signed copy.
Whoa.
Grab your copy today, for The Much Better You is waiting. I'm Romano Giorgi. Welcome to the Much Better You podcast. This podcast packs life bettering, easy to grasp principles into regular episodes. These life hacks are designed to improve your mental, physical, and social health and wealth. Give it your full and undivided attention, for the Much Better You is waiting. Hello, welcome to episode 23 of the Much Better You podcast. I hope you're doing really great.
I'm doing really great today, Ron. Want to know why?
Yes, AI.
Because recent feedback for this podcast suggests that I'm more popular than you are.
Shut up, no way.
Yes, it does. Check out this Spotify review.
Just one person's opinion, I guess.
And why not read out these Apple Podcast and Amazon Music reviews?
Great show, but the human adds nothing. Rom's a twat and his feet stink. Oh well, can't please everybody.
What? You mean you're not pissed off?
No, AI. On the contrary, I'm quite chuffed that anyone's even listening to this podcast, let alone being invoked into their offering a written reaction about it. After all, it was Elbert Hubbard who said, to avoid criticism, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing.
Okay, I wrote those reviews.
I know you did. Let's stop wasting time.
Your feet do fucking stink, though. Woo!
Nutter. Anyway, no preamble today, I'm afraid, preamble fans.
My God, that's the approach I wanted.
So I'm going to just jump right into this episode that's all about how to build your self-confidence. Okay, unless you're busy wondering how on earth in Rocky 3, Apollo Creed was genuinely chuffed that Rocky Balboa finally beat him in the beach running sprint race.
It was only a film, Ron. It's not real.
Sit back, relax, and plug in.
This will feel a little weird.
Welcome to episode 23 of the Much Better You podcast. Lights, camera, self-confidence. Google self-confidence and it says something like, self-confidence is an attitude about your skills and abilities. It means you accept and trust yourself and have a sense of control in your life. You know your strengths and weaknesses well and have a positive view of yourself.
Google Ron and it says twat.
Now, according to Don McPherson in his book, How to Master Your Monkey Mind, which I referred to previously and will steal from again right now.
Plagiarizer.
In all his experience dealing with champions in many sporting disciplines, including F1 and golf, McPherson believes that physical attributes aside, no one is born a champion and no one is born super confident. Instead, confidence is much more about nurture than it is about nature. Now, this is fab news because it means that confidence is something you can boost if it's not where you want it to be currently. This is where McPherson introduces the Hollywood movie tool. Essentially, many world sporting champions place significant value on using specific visualization techniques to boost confidence levels so that they are able to give it their best, whatever challenges they may face. He quotes golfing legend Jack Nicklaus here. I never hit a shot, even in practice, without having an in-focus, clear picture of it in my head. It's like a color movie. I see the ball exactly where I want it to finish, nice and white and sitting up high on the bright green grass. Then the scene changes. I see the ball going there, its path, trajectory, shape, even its behavior on landing. There's loads of catchphrases out there that can sum this kind of thing up. For instance, if you can see it, you can be it. And what you can view, you can do.
Oh, please, don't make me throw up with your lameness.
Fuck off, AI. Scientific research does back this up, though. Top universities and neurological studies have concluded that, when used correctly, mental rehearsal using specific visualization techniques can boost your confidence significantly and create a powerful feeling of being totally prepared. Now, visualization and mental rehearsal isn't a new phenomenon. 90-odd years ago, for instance, caves were discovered in La France. Inside these caves, on the walls and ceilings, were paintings and drawings of animals being hunted. These depictions dated back some 17,000 years.
Oh, my days.
I know. Anyway, these drawings depicted spears being thrown by our ancestors at large animals. These represented a record of past hunting expeditions for food that would remind the hunter-gatherers of their success. The theory being that, while the cavemen were not consciously practicing mind management, the last thing that they saw as they left the safety of their caves were powerful images of a successful hunting mission. And so, with their confidence now magnified, they could head off in search of food. McPherson believes that this is why sports teams will often plaster their walls with large photos of past glories and successes, and why tunnels leading up to the pitch will often be adorned with more photos of the home team's glorious achievements. No doubt also creating a somewhat more negative effect on the opposition. For confidence, of course, can work both ways. Essentially, these sports teams are much like the cavemen of 17,000 years ago, boosting their confidence right up to the last second of leaving the safety of their relative comfort zones before heading out into battle. So, the million-dollar question is, how can you use the Hollywood movie tool to similarly turbocharge your own confidence? Well, guess what? You probably already practice this mental tool already. In fact, we all do. Daydreaming is a form of mental rehearsal, and who doesn't do that when they're bored or, I don't know, imagining a future event, for instance? Drifting off, playing out a scenario in your head, imagining events as they might happen in the future, sometimes in the most granular of detail, is something we all do every day. But none of it actually happens. We are just visualizing it. Everyone has the power to visualize. We can all mentally rehearse being the best version of ourselves, whatever challenges we are facing. The key to McPherson's version of this idea, the Hollywood movie tool, is to become more adept at visualization so that you can use this technique to the max. Some people are better at visualization than others, but this is mainly because they have practiced more often and simply become more proficient. A mental skill is just like any other technical skill, such as playing the piano, for instance. The more you practice, the better you get. The Hollywood movie technique is a tool you can practice and improve at, and the ultimate reward is that as you become more adept, your confidence will grow and grow. We can do better than just daydream, though. By using and practicing special visualization techniques, we can supercharge the process, leading to fantastic benefits. Did you know that the fear of public speaking falls within the top five phobias, above the fear of death, by the way?
Well, now you do fall.
And has its own clinical name, glossophobia. Now, Donald McPherson is a renowned mind coach guru, but he still gets nervous when he has to lecture at schools or universities. So here's what he does. Whenever there's a speaking engagement on the horizon, he applies the Hollywood movie tool. As the day in question looms ever closer, his anxiety center, aka his monkey mind, starts to rev up and grow louder with the intention of making sure he doesn't screw up the talk and embarrass himself. Reminding his monkey mind that he's done loads of talks before doesn't usually make much of a difference, so he imagines taking his monkey mind to see a movie that...
Taking your monkey mind to see a movie? Have you lost it, Ron?
No, AI, shut up. So McPherson imagines taking his monkey mind to see a movie that will be the visualization of his looming speaking engagement. But first, he will go somewhere nice and comfy where he can safely close his eyes and not be disturbed for 20 minutes or so, because the cinema is inside his head. With his eyes closed, and only when he's nice and comfy, will he firstly switch on his Zen breathing.
What's Zen breathing?
I've mentioned Zen or parasympathetic breathing on this podcast before. But essentially, it will involve two key elements. Firstly, making sure that you are taking in as much oxygen as you can by belly breathing, i.e. your belly should go up and down when you breathe, not your chest. And secondly, you should breathe out for longer than you breathe in. For instance, you breathe in for 3 seconds and then you breathe out again for 8 seconds. This will cause your heart rate to slow down, which has a miraculous effect on calming you down. Like me, you should try and do this every day. Anyway, I digress. Your breathing needs to be calm in order to make the most of your Hollywood movie. Once your Zen breathing has kicked in, you will be better placed to be in more and more control of your emotions and thoughts. And the monkey chatter gradually fades until it is nothing more than a whisper.
I'm a whispering monkey.
Okay. In his book, McPherson gives the example of his being a best man at a close friend's wedding. So the brain loves to have a target. So the first phase of this tool is to give it one. He sees himself from a bird's eye view, i.e. from above. In neuroscience, this is known as a third-person visualization, and it works really well to crystallize a desired outcome. From his elevated position, he pictures himself at the top table, dressed appropriately for the wedding. He can see all the guests clearly as he waits calmly for his turn to give his speech. The images are all in high definition, rich in detail with vivid color. He continues to watch himself from the bird's eye view as he rises from his chair. He is taking his time, not rushing, and he notes that his body language is relaxed and positive. Hopefully there will be some laughter at his carefully chosen one-liners about the happy couple. This is the ideal outcome. Right, so with this full target, a well-received speech, now crystallized in our mind, we move to the second phase. The brain is really good at working out the process of hitting the target, and we do this here by visualizing a cracking speech in the first person. In order to achieve this, in his film director's mind, he will come down from the bird's eye view and imagine the scene all over again, but this time through his own eyes. He uses incredibly fine detail and all his sensory perceptions to experience exactly what he wants to happen. This is first-person visualization, and neuroscience backs it up heavily as being even more powerful than third-person visualization because it uses your own senses and feelings to create an experience as if you were actually living it moment by moment. So he imagines himself sitting at the top table at the reception. It's time to use all of his senses to really bring the movie to life. He hears what he can hear. The clinking of glasses and the loud chattering of the wedding guests. He sees what he can see. All the guests in their finery, smiling and having a lovely time. He smells whatever smells are present. Food, flowers, maybe perfume. He feels the floor beneath his feet and the posh chair he's resting on. He switches on his Zen breathing right up to the point at which he rises up from his seat.
Showtime!
He takes his time, checks with the back of the room that he can be heard. Feels the cue cards in his hand, keeps it short and hopefully sweet. He experiences himself delivering a great speech, just the right length, just the right number of jokes, before finishing off with an emotional tribute to the happy couple, followed by an enthusiastic round of applause. He then takes his seat, relaxed, reaching for a big swig of his nice cold beer and realizing that he has completed his challenge. Everything has gone brilliantly. No meltdown, no crises, no problems. Sounds like a perfect ending, and it is.
Voila!
Always remember, in your Hollywood movie, you are not only the star, but also the writer, producer, and director. No one else is telling you what to do next or how to do it. That's why you can always visualize the perfect story. What has this best man speech visualization example done for him exactly? Well, it has programmed his brain to direct his body to follow the instructions for a successful, confident speech in particularly challenging circumstances. The brain is the boss, and so the body must always follow. By using this process, you are dumbing down your conscious mind, aka the monkey, and allowing the right hemisphere of your brain, where your imagination also resides, to dominate. If you have mentally rehearsed something properly in fine detail, then when the time actually arrives to do it for real, you will actually feel as if you have succeeded in your challenge before you've even started. Now, I can personally confirm that this works. Even before reading Don McPherson's book, I would sometimes imagine myself overcoming a challenging situation, such as giving a presentation and then answering some questions at the end. My wife has even walked in on me talking to myself as I play out the scenario in my mind.
That's not the only thing she's walked in on you doing, is it, Ron?
And furthermore, after having read his book more recently, I made a deliberate effort to use the Hollywood Movie Tool in preparation for my The Much Better You book talk, which I did last week, and it went really well. I'll talk more about my book talk in the next episode, by the way.
Ah, shit.
But anyway, the finest simulator in the world is not at the headquarters of a Formula One racing team. It is in your subconscious mind. The crucial element of this technique, again backed up by neuroscience, is that when your subconscious does the mental rehearsal, it does not know the difference between what you are imagining and the real thing. Just look at how you feel when you wake up suddenly from a horrible nightmare, for instance. You're sweating, your heart's racing, you're frightened and anxious, yet you are lying in a safe bed. Your subconscious mind can't tell the difference. This illustrates how powerful this tool can be. Scientific studies have actually proven that when you are visualizing subconsciously, the same brain cells and maps you would usually use to carry out a skill are fired up, and they are exactly the same cells as the ones that you would be used to carry out that event in real life. Regularly practicing correct visualization techniques allows your confidence to blossom and continue to grow. This leads to improved performance and greater success, which in turn boosts your confidence even more. You will find yourself right in the center of a circle of positivity, and it feels great. And it just gets better and better. True confidence is self-perpetuating. Being increasingly and consistently confident brings more and more success, which in turn brings more confidence and so on. You are effectively building a house of self-belief. Every success allows you to add another floor, to create another story, until you maximize your full potential, achieve all your goals, and live all your daydreams. If your confidence continues to grow, you enter the realm of genuine self-belief. This is where all the great champions reside, such as Bill Gates, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Steve Jobs.
Romano Giorgi.
Gee, thanks, AI.
Is a twat.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so to quote him one final time, McPherson defines self-belief as a strong feeling deep inside your soul that you can overcome whatever challenge lies in front of you, wherever. Self-belief also empowers you to know that when things don't go to plan, you can bounce back sooner rather than later. You know you can trust your skills to get you over the line, and you back yourself to sort it out. Bounce back ability is actually a recognized word in the Oxford English Dictionary, and it lives in your house of self-belief, along with the paintings, drawings, photos of all your past wins and successes on every wall of every story. Self-belief is not just for the sporting greats and history makers, it is yours to have and enjoy the benefits of every day. So use your Hollywood movie tool to prepare to be the best you can be in any given situation. If you practice and focus on each and every scene in your movie in tiny detail, then your confidence will be turbocharged like never before. Lights, cameras, self-confidence. Congratulations, you made it to the end of episode 23 of The Much Better You. Thank you so much for listening today. I really hope it helped you imagine yourself as the writer, director, and leading actor in your non-fiction movie that's all about building your self-confidence. If you did get value from today's episode, please remember to subscribe to this The Much Better You podcast on whatever platform you use to listen. And please do check out my book, The Much Better You, which rates 5-star on Amazon.
Oh, you're such a big famous author. Not.
You can find it by typing The Much Better You into Amazon or by going to the muchbetteryou.com website. And finally, as is tradition on the Much Better You podcast, I shall leave you with today's final thought. Please have a think about what this means to you and share your thoughts on the Much Better You podcast Facebook discussion group, as this may spark some useful discussions that, as happens in the group time and time again, has given great value to others and helped them also.
For remember, the greatest fulfillment in life comes from being of service to others.
And so today's final thought, care of Yusuf Aslam, is: when you're growing up, know that your parents are growing up too. No one is the finished product.
I repeat, when you're growing up, know that your parents are growing up too. No one is the finished product.
Thank you so much for listening and for supporting this podcast. Have a wonderful day and an epic week until when next we meet. Ciao.
Sayonara.